Sorry, just getting myself situated. So I'll be doing some screen sharing of some pictures this evening. So before I start, though, I want to just double check again on my sound. Can folks hear me? Okay. Thank you. So recently, I had an opportunity to travel to Maui for work. This is the third time that my work has sent me to Maui for twice for this technical conference and once just for a meeting with some folks, some partners that we have there. And so my husband and I were there from, I think, around the 12th to the 22nd or so. So there was about 10 days. Two of those days were travel days and, 15-hour, 16-hour days. And five of those days were work days. And so I ended up putting in quite a few hours. In fact, it was not until about the fourth or fifth day that I was there that I finally made it down to the water to actually put my feet in the water at the beach. So it wasn't all fun and games, but it certainly did have some fun and games. So I just wanted to share some of the pictures and sort of some things that came up for me when I was on this trip. I have a friend of mine that has a bunch of little couple word things, slogans is maybe not the right word for it, but like basically, I think it's kind of like a catch phrase or something like that, a turning phrase in a koan, that it's just a couple words that bring up ideas for him. And one of his particular ones is strange teaches. And so when you're in this different place, it's often a really good time to observe what's happening and for different insights and different learning to show up. So with that, will. Do the screen share. So the little wooden stuff at the bottom is just the slide presentation. So that'll appear everywhere. I wasn't actually standing when I was looking at this again. I was like, it looks like I'm standing on a pier or something, but it was actually on a boat. And I really love this image because it calls back one of the kind of themes that was happening for me was just this hugeness and beauty and all of the beauty that just seemed so in my face, and not in a negative connotation, but just pop, everything was there. And I think, living here in Colorado Springs, there's plenty of beauty around me every single day. I mean, looking at my yard, looking at the mountains, the view of the mountains that we have, a lot of beautiful landscape and a lot of things that people travel from other places to come and see specifically. But it takes me going, leaving this place and going somewhere else to actually notice this natural beauty that's happening. And so that was one of the things that really struck me is that, this sort of almost like a call to action in a way, but not an action to actually do anything, but just an action to notice. And I thought that was sort of interesting in like nothing was required. I didn't have to actually do anything about it. And that was really sort of this nice relief of getting outside of my normal everyday life where I have to feel like I always feel like I have to do something about whatever the present circumstance is. And looking at this view, there's nothing I had to do about this. Just there it is. And so I have a few more images like that. This one also, the little, I think this was also on a boat. Oh, it was, so the island here that we're looking at is Lanai. And so we took a ferry over to Lanai. And it was just a 45-minute ride. We spent 30 minutes on the other island and turned around, and really the point was the boat ride. But we can see the little splash of the wake from the boat. And the another thing that was coming up for me on this trip was just this constant feeling of motion all of the time. That I don't I block out, I think, when I'm at home, a lot of the motion that surrounds me as just normal day-to-day life. But on this trip, there was a dolphin that jumped out of the water right near us. There were these flying fish that had their fins look like bird wings, and they would dart out like 30 or 40 feet above the water and just fly. And just all of the ocean life below the surface that I couldn't see, but knowing that it was there, the ocean movement, the wind, the clouds, and then there's the human movement that was happening all the time. And I really found myself consciously looking to see if I could find a place where there was no movement, and I couldn't find it. And it was just a, and I think I could have done the same thing here. I mean, since I've come back, it's like, okay, well, is there that same amount of movement here? Yes. But I couldn't notice it in my normal day-to-day circumstances because I just have to block so much out to function, I think. And just everything felt so much bigger. I'll kind of go on to the next picture. So one of the things that I noticed was every evening at sunset, it seemed like flocks of people would just gather towards the west. Our condo was sort of on the western side, and would just go down to the beach or stop every, like even in the middle of the shopping district town, stop what they're doing and walk away from the buildings and watch the sunset. And my husband actually asked me, or we were commenting on, it's really interesting and neat to have such a response of everybody feeling like we're all stopping to watch the sunset together. And so that was really, really quite amazing. My husband was asking or just commenting, I wonder how many pictures of Hawaiian sunsets are taken every year. And it's like, well, it's kind of hilarious because the sunset's everywhere, but why is it the Hawaiian sunset that's so amazing? And so I'll kind of go in this. So this one I just took right outside the condo. I walked out on the lanai and took a picture. And then this one's kind of facing the other direction, and it was a full moon the whole entire, well, it felt like the whole time I was there. Every time I looked up, the moon was full. And I'm like, when? Day three of the full moon. Like, when actually was the full moon? Because it's been full for way too long. So that was sort of interesting. As someone who tends to pay attention to the sky and the stars and satellites and things like that, it just, the brightness of the moon, I think I have one more picture of the moon that I put in here, was just really, really pretty awesome. The other thing that I sort of noticed is that there were all these different choices of activities to do. I don't know, there's people whose whole job it is to sell you whatever activity adventures. But due to COVID, the restaurants were all at 50% capacity. You had to have a vaccine card to get in, which was actually really kind of nice. So you had to have a vaccine card that had matched your ID. Everybody was really great about wearing masks. So I really felt pretty safe. But there was a lot of pre-planning because of that had to happen. If we wanted to go out to eat, if we hadn't made a reservation a week ago, we perhaps weren't getting in to a lot of different places. And so we spent a fair amount of time wandering around, looking for a place that didn't seem to have a very long line. I think one morning we decided we were going to have breakfast. We were going out to eat for breakfast, and it took us three places that we went to finally find something that we could actually get something to eat. Who cares what? And so there was this sense of having to do a lot more planning than normal, or than the last couple times, less feeling of a spontaneous opportunities. The first day, and I'll kind of flip to this picture. The first day I got there, this was part of my work day, which was quite amazing. I went up to the telescopes. There's some telescopes on Haleakala that are Air Force telescopes, and there's kind of two different organizations that we work with. One is a operational Department of Defense set of telescopes, and we had to meet with some of the folks that work there because they directly support us in my job. And the other set of telescopes is the Air Force Research Lab, and so we also met with them on a lot of the work that they have a lot of new folks that recently got their PhDs that are doing postdoc studies. A lot of them with astronomy backgrounds, and they're looking at new ways to figure out what's going on with a satellite or what if we don't have that knowledge. So it was really, really technically interesting. And this was the drive up to the, at the top of the mountain. So that's just kind of an idea of one of the activities. People will go up here and watch sunrise, sunset. And then this is in a rainforest that's on the island, and just the variety in the natural landscape. I mean, you can have a completely barren lava field, and right next to it, or fairly close to it, relatively speaking, is a rainforest. And so, just that variety to me was striking. And feeling like I didn't have to go very far to have things completely change. And that to me is really spoke to me, especially with sort of coming back to my day-to-day life and taking that message back with me of, there might not have to be this huge movement or huge change for the complete scenery to be absolutely different. So let's see what's next. Ah, that's just a happy standing on the beach picture. I'm not really sure I have a lot to say about it. But I found myself really having a hard time, I guess, relaxing, and I had this urge to make the most out of every single moment. And it was, I didn't want to waste time, and I felt like I needed to have a lot of things planned out because of the way that things were with COVID and having it a little bit harder to get in. But really, I only had 4 days there that I wasn't working, even though I was there for about 10 days. And I found this fairly striking, this like not wanting to waste a single second, as if that there's such a thing. But it's kind of striking coming back. It's like, why don't I feel like that every day? That's, yeah, I think, and the thing that I notice is that it's, in Maui, I knew how many days I had left, whereas in life, I don't know. And so somehow that makes me, I don't know, it makes it so that I'm less willing to kind of take that opportunity to not want to waste a single second. We'll kind of go on to the next one. I took this on a, it was our anniversary, our 12-year anniversary for my husband and myself on the trip. And so we went on a sunset dinner cruise. And so this is a picture that evening of yet another full moon, of course. this was probably one of the favorite things, one of my favorite things that we did. And at the same time, it was the one that we selected, the one activity that we decided to do, or that one experience that we decided to do that night. And that there was this sadness for all the things that we didn't choose to do, that I was noticing as well. It's like a kind of all these infinite number of things that could happen, and this is it was sort of sad having to choose one. And so, it reminds me of the great way is not difficult if you just don't pick and choose. But yet I have to do something. And so that was certainly showing up as well. I did go to the Lahaina Jodo Mission, which this is one of the largest Buddha statues outside of Asia. It's 12 feet tall. And I walked up, and there was a gentleman there, working, and he had a hose, and he was washing off the sidewalk and the stairs to get up to the statue. And we pulled up. My husband didn't want to get out of the car, and so I jumped out of the car, and I was walking around the grounds, and I was silent, and the guy was just spraying water everywhere, and all of a sudden the water is spraying at me, and then he realized I was standing there, and it was just this great laugh, like this great moment of, I didn't know you were there, I sprayed, got you soaking wet, and it could have been this big disaster of like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, and it was just, we both just didn't say a word and just laughed. And I bowed to him, and then kind of that was that moment, and that was that exchange with him. It was really probably one of the more significant experiences that I had with somebody during that trip. So kind of the third maybe segment of what I have to say. This is the banyan tree in the center of Lahaina. This is all a single tree. And so this kind of maybe segment and the next couple pictures is, there's just such fragility, it felt like. There were signs everywhere, please don't swing on the trees, and don't touch the tree, and all these little things. I don't know if you can see my pointer, but all these little things coming down are what then become roots over here and basically form part of the tree, but it's a second tree, but still the same tree. So it's kind of dropping these roots into the ground. But just the hugeness of it, and there's a big park that's around it. And then some sea turtles hanging out on the beach. What is out of this picture is there's a wall that I'm sta of made of stone that I'm standing on the other side of the turtles, with all these signs that say, you know, do not cross this line, do not touch the turtles, don't disturb the turtles. If there's a hurt turtle, here's the phone number to call. And yet here's the turtles not knowing all that is happening. And so there's this, you know, they're just living. This is where, this is a, I mean, I found this place on my first trip, and so I've come back every time I've gone to Maui to this one little spot on the beach, and it every I mean it's written in the tour books, this is where the turtles go. It's like they just happen to live there. I don't know, it's just this sort of fragile, like fragile, protect the turtles, don't approach them, stay away from them, but they don't know that any of that is happening, and they don't know that they necessarily, it seems like they don't know that they have to be protected from us. And then this little guy. So this is a little birdie that was, this was on the patio of, or on the lanai, in the condo that I was at. And we would have our coffee and eat breakfast. Actually, we ate all the meals that we ate out on the lanai. And this bird was kind of walking around on the lawn, and I was just quietly looking at him, and or her, I don't know. And I started calling it like a dog, like, "Here, little bird, here." And it walked over to me, and I'm probably like, if I would have reached out my hand, I could have touched it. And it was totally not afraid of anybody. I'm sure it had been fed plenty of times living where it lives, but the fact that it would come when it was called was like a dog was just really interesting to me. And so we would hang out, you know, every morning with this bird. And then the next picture is kind of moving into an artist that I fell in love with the first time I went to Maui. His name is Vladimir Kush, and he's a Russian artist who does a lot of, his father was a scientist. He does a lot of metaphor pictures. And one of the things that I absolutely love about him is there's sort of the big picture, but if you actually look at the details, it's something completely different. And so, sort of to sum up, this feeling of largeness and time feeling like it was slipping away, and just enjoying the beauty, the picture that of his that I really most connected with is this one. And he has a gal he has three galleries. One is in Lahaina, one is in Las Vegas, and one is somewhere else that I can't recall right now. And I went in on a Saturday, and of course he had been there the night before, and so there was this, oh, I just missed him. And then it's like, you know, do I actually really want to meet him? And I had this whole, I spent a long time trying to determine if I really wanted to meet the person behind it, and if that would change the art for me. And so I just, there's, I have a few more pictures that I don't really have a lot to say. I grab this. I'll stop sharing for a sec if I can figure that out. So I bought a book of his that I'm, you know, gonna be spending the next. It's called Metaphorical Journey. It was actually, I think, the first book that he wrote, or well, wrote, put together. About 20 years ago or so. And it has descriptions, and it has pictures, some of his images. And so I'm going to be hanging out with this book quite a bit, but I grabbed just a few images that happened to be speaking to me this afternoon. And then I found a couple more online that I am going to share as well. So back to screen sharing world. So it's not advancing. There we go. So a lot of his art, he'll have these like smaller paintings, and this is these are oil paintings. And so have these smaller ones, and then he'll have in the rest of his he'll do these compilations where he'll take five, six different paintings and combine them all together into something, into a bigger compilation. And so you'll like you can find this image repeated throughout a lot of his art. So here's one. I absolutely love this one, of course. It is just I got to see this one. Actually, the first one, actually so far all three of these I got to see in person. In his gallery. And then the next one, this is one that I hadn't seen in person, so it was a new one for me, that I just loved. And then let me share a couple of other images. This one. Of the pineapple with the people. And then my favorite and the one I almost bought actually is this one. It's called Winged Satellite. And his father was in the Russian space program and a mathematician who specialized in differential equations. And when I was talking to the person that the only person that works in the shop, there's one person that runs the shop. And he found out that I was there for a space, a satellite type conference. He was like, I have got to show you this picture. And so he took us into a room and did a private viewing with us, closed the door, turned off the lights, did all the different lighting and everything. And I was like, okay, I'm sold. And just this image is really doesn't do it much justice compared to in person, and how it changes in different light was just amazing. So I think that's kind of all I have to say for now. So I will go ahead and open it for any comments or discussion.